Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or under public affairs for prior shows, as well as on many streaming services and, of course, our WDIY app. Today is May 21st, 2025. The markets were down today, with the Dow closing at 41,860, the NASDAQ down at 18,872, and the S&P down at 5,844. Tonight, we are talking about goal setting. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it in. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, we can just write it down and we'll do our best to answer the question. You can also submit questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. Goal setting. Let's talk about goal setting for a moment. And when we talk about goal setting, typically in my work, you know, I'm a financial advisor. Usually when people are talking about goal setting, it's usually financial goals. But of course, there are other kinds of goals you can have too. You can have personal goals, professional goals, and of course, the financial goals. Goals can be short term. They can be long term. They can be realistic. They can be unrealistic. They can be practical. They can be indulgent. They could be shooting for the moon or shooting yourself in the foot. So that goes back to the practicality. And I am a very practical person. So maybe I'm not the person to be talking about goal setting tonight or shooting for the moon, but being somewhat practical. But I am going to talk about some goals that my husband and I had and that I've had personally as we go through the show to kind of demonstrate what I'm talking about here. But those goal setting, they're nothing, you know, without some planning. Just to say you have a goal and do no planning around it isn't going to get you there necessarily unless you're just one very lucky person. In business, we often talk about SMART goals. So, you know, quite often in the corporate world, or you might even have seen it in school, they talk about SMART goals and being, you know, that acronym stands for certain things. So S of SMART stands for specific goals. So you want your goal to be clearly defined. M, measurable. You want to be able to track it, basically. That's how I try it in my head. Measurable is something that you can measure and track, kind of like when you're cooking, you measure your ingredients. You can kind of see it. So specific and measurable. Achievable, basically, is it a realistic goal or is it unrealistic? Because if it's unrealistic, you know, that might not be able to achieve it. So why do it? You know, you could say, I want to, you know, go to the moon, that may not be quite achievable or realistic, you see? So we want to be careful about those goals. Now, if you're a kid and you want to be an astronaut, then that would be, you know, that could be achievable for you. quite often I don't see people, you know, setting these goals until later in life, but it's always good to start early. So we had specific, clearly defined, measurable, being able to track it, basically achievable, reachable, you know, realistic, relevant, meaning it's something, it means something to you and it's applicable to your overall goals. And why relevant to me is very important is because from my perspective, being relevant is what makes it, motivates you to get it done. It has to be relevant and meaningful to you to put the work in to achieve the goal. And then the last letter, T, time. It needs to be achievable within some time frame, some reasonable, realistic time frame. So SMART goals help us kind of define what the goal would be. So specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time, SMART goals. If you haven't heard that before, write it down. SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T. And as part of establishing the SMART goals, then you need to address the specifics of what you want. And how are you going to measure it? And what is the time frame? How do you do that? So, you know, within each of those, you know, words, SMART, measurable, achievable, relevant, time, you have to be able to kind of put some label on the steps to reach that goal. You need to establish if the goals are urgent. Are they attainable? Are they attainable in steps? Or is it just a very simple goal, like I want to go to New York City for the weekend? That's pretty, you know, next weekend. That would be, you know, really quick goal. It could be achievable. You could buy a bus ticket. That might be, you know, fairly quick. But then, of course, there are goals. Usually when we're talking about goals and goal setting, we're talking about longer term. So remember, I said part of the goal setting would be, you know, is it short term or long term? And is it, you know, realistic, unrealistic, that kind of thing. So to say I'm going to go to San Diego for the weekend next weekend, that might be a little bit less realistic than going to New York for the weekend if I can take a bus to New York and I'd have to take a 5-hour flight to San Diego, okay? Is there a deadline to the goal? Is it urgent? Is it attainable? Can you attain it in steps? Is there a deadline? Are there several goals? Because maybe you want to accomplish a few things. Maybe you want to have a house on the shore, and you also want to fund your children's education, and you also want to, leave a legacy to your kids. So those are three very, far-reaching goals, for most people. And you might have to do some of that prioritizing and time frame and achievable and realistic. So if you throw all the goals on a piece of paper and you have so many, it may not be attainable if you overreach. So you might want to say, what is the most important goal? What is the attainable goal? What is the urgent goal or, you know, in my timeline? How do you prioritize? And then what are the roadblocks? What would keep you from reaching some of these goals? And think about those ahead of time. And can the roadblocks either inhibit you or can you remove the roadblocks somehow? For example, if I said, you know, if you have 4 kids and you want to pay for their education and you want a shore house as a second home, and you know, that's quite a bit. And only one spouse might be, if you're married, only one spouse is working and, you know, you haven't accumulated any assets. I mean, you know, it could be a little bit difficult. So what would the roadblock be? Maybe the second spouse decides to get a job and work and all that money gets set aside separately. It's not part of your budget. It's not part of your operating expenses. It is to, you know, save up for X goal. So you want to say, what are the roadblocks preventing us from reaching these goals? What can we do to remove those roadblocks? Can we remove those roadblocks? And will that help in our timeline in steps to reach our goals a little bit sooner? So as we go through the show, we're going to talk a little bit about how to kind of break these down. And I'm going to give some examples, and hopefully it'll be some motivation to people to see how much they can accomplish when they set their mind to it. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tickets are now on sale for WDIY's 30th anniversary All-Star Celebration. You're invited to the party of the year, celebrating three decades of broadcasting with live music from the WDIY All-Stars. Enjoy food, drinks, and activities for the whole family under a covered pavilion. Saturday, June 7th from 1 to 6 p.m. at South Mountain Grove in Allentown. Tickets are available at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and they'll bring it into the studio. We're talking about goal setting tonight. Now, your question doesn't have to be about goal setting, but it, you know, so you can ask, you know, other financial questions. But we are talking about goal setting tonight. So we talked about SMART goals. I think that's really kind of a great strategy to use something like that, because it does take discipline to reach goals. And if you have a disciplined approach in you know, achieving that, then you're more apt to have success. So one of the things we talked about was being specific about your goals. So if you have this goal and you have to go through all those other little steps, the measurable, achievable, relevant, and time, we still want to make sure, you know, kind of test it. So how do you stay motivated and committed to the goals you've set? Can you stay disciplined? You have to think of these things as you go through. And if you can let go of the goal, or you lose track of the goal, or you're not staying motivated or disciplined to achieve that goal or goals, was it really ever a SMART goal? because that is the, you know, you have to kind of revisit these things with yourself. Was it realistic? Maybe it wasn't. And maybe that's why you weren't achieving it. Because what I see sometimes is people beating themselves up when maybe they, you know, don't have the discipline, or they didn't stay disciplined in achieving a goal, or they beat themselves up because they spend too much money, or they're embarrassed by how much money they spend. And, you know, you have to kind of do a little bit of self-reflection and understand, like, why, what is kind of behind this behavior? Why are you not achieving these goals? Maybe those goals weren't important enough to you, or maybe you have some other kind of underlying fears or lack of discipline. So we're going to talk about how you can kind of overcome some of these things. So you want to circle back, ask yourself, was my goal specific? Was it measurable? Was it achievable? Was it relevant? Was it time sensitive? And if not, you know, if I let go of that goal, that's those SMART goals, then maybe I need to just scrap it. Maybe it wasn't good. Maybe I need to think of a different goal, think of something else, or just tweak it a little bit. Maybe you don't get the shore house, but maybe you get a swimming pool. Maybe you don't pay for all of your children's education. Maybe you pay for half of your children's education. So you can still have goals, but it's about saying what is realistic, what is achievable, what is measurable. So now, what is my action plan to meet these goals? Can I break down the necessary steps into having successes along the way? Because I think that's another big motivator, to give yourself little, you know, successes. And how do I do that? If I can't do it on my own, do I need to engage professionals or friends and family to be my cheerleaders, to be accountable to? You know, I will tell you, when I think there was a study by Vanguard, I've mentioned this before, and I really need to like print it out, that said that you know, investors quite often are more successful when they're working with an advisor. And what I see over and over is sometimes the advisor can be a little bit more objective in looking at investments or looking at planning, looking at financial planning, than the client themselves. And I think that they bring a level of discipline sometimes when, you know, one might not have that discipline. And of course, we have, you know, there are many people out there who are walking around who are very disciplined. Sometimes they're so disciplined, they, you know, may not reach goals because they're so focused on, you know, only one thing and they're not looking at the big picture. You know, save, and they, you know, don't live their life. So I'm not saying or suggesting that that's any better, you know, being super disciplined. But quite often what I see is when someone has a goal and they are getting frustrated because they're not getting there, they can't retire as early as they want to, sometimes it's that they didn't have the discipline. So either working with a professional or talking to friends or family or your partner about the importance of reaching these goals, how do you do it? Sometimes that helps. It makes you accountable to others, or they check on you, and I think it can, you know, make a difference. The other thing in setting goals is, we talked about it, again, being specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time. My daughter, if I can speak about my middle daughter, super goal-oriented. She's older now, but as a young girl, eighth grade, she said, you know, I want to make the varsity volleyball team as a freshman. And she put these goals on a wall in her bedroom on sticky notes. So she had three columns. The sticky note was, the first column is the goal. The second column were the steps she was taking to, you know, accomplish this goal. And then the third column was like, I did it. And it was so inspiring, frankly, because she had a number of goals, a number of sticky notes going in each of these columns, and she would kind of move them over. And she would have these goals and she would achieve them. I mean, it was just astonishing. She had only started playing volleyball in eighth grade. By ninth grade, she was on the varsity volleyball team. She said, I want to win, you know, conference championships. I want to win state championships. And she, you know, worked and, you know, along with her teammates. And what we don't always realize is when we are sharing our goals with others around us and they can get excited about the goals too, then it becomes like a team effort. Like in volleyball, it became a team effort and they were all reaching for the same goal and they were all working toward the same goal, and it made a big difference. So think how this might apply in your own life, in your own family. You might have a goal. Maybe you're single and you have a goal, you want to buy a house. And you have family members, maybe your parents or siblings or cousins or somebody who say, oh, come on, let's go out, let's do this, let's do that. If you let them know, hey, you know what, I would love to and I love spending time with you, but I have a goal and I'm really committed to this goal and saving money and working towards saving for a home. I'd love to hang out with you, but do we have to go out to do that? Why don't you come on over to my place and we'll, you know, make dinner together and we'll just sit and talk and, you know, play games or whatever. You don't have to necessarily go out and spend money to, you know, hang out with someone. So if you're sharing that goal with someone, all of a sudden they have buy-in with you and they may be encouraging you. Now, sometimes there are people who are detractors and try to, like, what do you call it, sabotage you. So stay away from those people. But when you can have other people on your team and it makes a difference, guess what? They get inspired too. And then you inspire each other. And then you're both reaching toward, you know, goals that you have. So I was totally inspired by my daughter. I'm also a huge believer in visualization. You talk in sports about running down the field, for example, with the soccer ball, and you have to visualize getting it into the net. In basketball, you run down the court and you visualize getting the ball into the basketball hoop. Football, you're visualizing throwing that pass across, you know, 50, 60 yards and hitting that person as they're running across the field. It's all visualization, and it's such a powerful feeling and powerful motivator when you have visualized something and you see it in action, and then you see the success of those little visualizations. Firm believer in it. You drive toward the line on the road when you're driving down the highway. You see semis do it all the time. We were just driving to Michigan, and these semis come right across the line.
I'm thinking
they're looking at our car, and they drive right toward our car.
So
visualize, and you go toward your goal. A lot of soft stuff tonight, but it's really important in building up,
hopefully
some tools
on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
758-8810. WDIY 88.1 offers many choices.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts.
You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m. just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at
WDIY.org. Right here on WDIY 88.1, and I have a caller. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. How can I help you?
I had a recent goal of redoing our will, and I have a couple questions about that.
Okay.
I found a will online that I'd like to use. It does give broad powers to the executors. So I'm going to print them out, get them notarized, and I know the original is going to go in our safe. This is for my husband and myself. And then I would give another copy to an alternate should something happen to my husband and myself together. Is there a third? I should give it to my financial planner, right?
Well, I think it is good to have, copies, at least, with your financial advisor. Normally, if you have an attorney may keep a copy of the will. Sometimes the attorneys keep the originals. You're doing your own, it sounds like. I would make sure that it's, follows kind of Pennsylvania. You want to look for certain language and all of that. Because it is the original that has to be probated, so you want to make sure that whoever is your next in line executor, if something happens to both of you, that person definitely needs to know where the original is. So even if you give them a copy, they have to have the original.
Now, gotcha.
The only reason you would have to give them a copy or would want to give them a copy, you don't have to give them a copy. The executor doesn't have to know what's the will says technically. But sometimes, once in a while you hear stories about where someone appoints an executor and they never asked them and they had no idea. It's like, what? They asked me to be an executor. So I'm assuming that you've asked that alternate person, if something happens to both of you, they know and they're willing to do it. So they kind of know. And obviously they're going to be privy to everything you have anyway, so I don't think it hurts to give them a copy so they know what's in there and what their responsibilities would be. I'm just saying, I don't know if you have to, but it is nice that they have it. But it is the original that would be very important. So if you keep it in, and you don't have to disclose any of this, but if, to me, don't do it on the radio, but if you, for example, have it in a safe and there's a lock, what's the combination? Is there a lock with a key? That executor needs to know where the safe is, if it's in a safe, and how they get into the safe and how they open it. And can they get into the house? Is there a code to the garage door? Do they have a spare key? Usually that person that you're going to entrust with that kind of role might be your backup if you get locked out of the house. We do that with our neighbors. Now, they're not going to be our executor, but our neighbors have a key, so someone should be able to get in and do that. But as far as a copy, frankly, as a financial advisor, yes, I love to have copies of people's documents simply because over time, sometimes people don't update their wills regularly, and they might be updating beneficiary designations. They might be updating titling on an account, and all of a sudden it could go awry of what the estate planning might have originally intended. So as a financial advisor, I kind of like to keep my thumb on the, you know, the wishes of the client, so I can say, hey, but that's not what your will said. Your will said this. Are you sure you want to do that? Just so that it's all working together the right way. And if you did have an attorney, then usually like the attorney would keep a copy. So does that help? Does that make sense?
That absolutely helps.
Okay.
Now, but the only other question I would have then is, since we did our will in 2016 with an attorney, and now I'm doing it on my own, do I need to contact that attorney and give him a new will, but I feel kind of weird because I didn't use them for it? Or do I need to let them know that the older will has been, what's the word I want, superseded?
Well,
or
usually your current will might say that, like, especially if you used some pre-filled thing. Sometimes it'll say, this is my last will and testament, and sometimes the language doesn't say that anymore. But last, and I'm not an attorney, by the way, so I've got to be careful. I can't give legal advice. But the but the will might have a template that says, you know, this is my last will and supersedes any that I've already had. So if you look, the language might say that already.
Yes, it does.
I don't think you necessarily have to notify the attorney. Sometimes you could send them a letter and say, I've updated my attorney elsewhere. I mean, I've updated my will elsewhere. You can destroy the copy that you have. If they just have a copy, it doesn't matter because you can't probate it. If they have an original, then it probably would be a nice courtesy to let them know. Are you following me on that? If they have a copy, the copy's just a copy. It's the original that's important.
I have to look in my notes. I think they have the original.
Right.
Okay.
So if they have the original, I think it would be nice to let them know, but after you finish your execution of the new one, you know, because the original one that the attorney has is still good until you've actually signed and had this one notarized with witnesses and everything.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, terrific.
All right.
Can I ask you a real quick second question?
Sure.
Okay, now for the medical power of attorney, that's your healthcare representative. Again, copies in the safe and then copies with alternate. Like if for my husband and I were, you know, obviously our first go-to, but then it would be if something happened to both of us, we have an alternate. I think, I mean, and we, of course, have spoken with this person and asked, is this okay? Are you willing to do this?
Right.
They should have a copy, correct?
Yeah, I would probably give them a copy. Again, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know if a copy works on a healthcare power of attorney, but if the original is needed, they, you have the original in the will and that are in the safe, and that person would know that. Typically, when we're talking about powers of attorney, like a durable power of attorney, quite often what I've seen attorneys do is give the client like four copies of originals so that they can give their power of attorney an original in case something does happen. They will have one of the originals because you can have more than one copy, one original of a power of attorney. You cannot, would not have more than one original of the same will. You know, you wouldn't, you wouldn't sign five wills, but you might do that for powers of attorney. Again,
okay, for the healthcare representative.
Yeah, or a durable power of attorney. So the healthcare is one power of attorney. The durable power of attorney is a financial power of attorney. Because if you're both in the hospital and you can't speak for yourselves, that's when you need the healthcare power of attorney. But if you're in the hospital and can't speak for yourselves, guess what else you're going to need? The durable power of attorney. Because someone's got to pay the bill if you're stuck in the hospital. You know, someone has to write checks, pay for your real estate taxes, keep the insurance up. So you want to make sure that you have an updated and fresh power of attorney, durable power of attorney, financial power of attorney. Following me on that?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
All right.
And but the funny thing is now that would not have changed from the original we did in 2016.
Okay. Okay,
so
just make sure you have some originals then.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a right to redo your will, but not your durable power. Okay, all right.
Technically, again, I'm not an attorney, but lots of disclosures here, Carolyn.
Okay. Yes, I got you.
Okay.
Thanks for helping me achieve my goals.
Okay, thanks, Carolyn. Have a good night. Bye. Folks, we are at our halfway point. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. Talking about SMART goals, setting goals, goal setting, SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time. I talked about how do you put them in action. I talked about sticky note method, goals, steps to take, done, put them on the wall. It was really fun seeing it on the wall, too, and it's always in your face. So you do remember, and it's there. And if you choose to look, I guess. Now, there are some other ways to kind of keep yourself motivated. If sticky notes don't work for you, you can always do to-do lists. Some people do very well with to-do lists. And today on your phone, you can have notes and put little, you know, bubbles to check off as you go. I use that all the time for my travel now. We make lists. My husband uses it for grocery shopping. I have it on my phone right now for summer bucket list, my summer bucket list, like all the things I want to do this summer, go to Longwood Gardens, you know, plan X trip, do this, do that. And then I can check those off as I go. I was going to go to a Broadway show. So I have a bucket list on my phone. You can do something like that. Excel spreadsheets, using a calendar. Sometimes people use bank accounts where they identify certain bank accounts for a vacation fund, education fund, house fund, renovation fund, whatever it might be. So whatever you're going to do to get the job done. Then let's make sure that we're revisiting our SMART goals, going back to them. Am I able to measure it? Am I able to measure my success? Am I achieving some part of the process in a timely manner? Is it still relevant? Have I provided myself options to pivot or to improve or to accelerate my goal? What actions am I taking? What successes do I have? If you've dropped the ball, why? Why did you drop the ball? Do you need to revisit the SMART goals again? Is it that they weren't achievable, that they were not, you know, specific, that it was not measurable? Are you just afraid? And this goes back to, again, like, why are you afraid? Why are you not able to achieve your goals? Are you just a procrastinator? I'll raise my hand there. I'm a procrastinator. But let me tell you, when I'm after a goal, I'm after a goal. And I'm like a bulldog toward it. So you could be a procrastinator in part of your life. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to be a procrastinator in your all parts of your life. Are you just lazy? And again, lazy could be procrastination. Sometimes people, you know, seek perfection and so they just can't move. So give yourself some grace and don't try to be a perfectionist. Don't try to, you know, reach the unattainable. Make it, you know, reasonable. And again, revisit, revisit, revisit. Now, are these goals, you know, I've kind of been talking like financial, but the goals don't have to be financial. That's typically what I'm used to talking about every week on the show and with clients. We talk about financial goals quite often, but the goals can also be personal. They can be personal in relationships. It can be a personal goal for possessions. It may be a professional goals, which could be jobs or education or getting a promotion. Again, could be financial, could be how much, you know, we're saving, retirement goals, giving goals. Some people, you know, have philanthropic goals. So goals can kind of take on any nature. I would pose to you, though, that goal setting in any manner, whether it's personal, professional, or financial, will benefit you in all aspects. The feeling of accomplishment is contagious and it drives you to more success or lessons learned. If you're not successful going towards those goals, I'm like a Pollyanna. I try to look for the positive in things. You know, usually my husband would tell you that I'm also kind of negative sometimes, usually negative toward myself, positive towards everybody else. But, you know, feeling, that feeling of accomplishment, or, you know, is great, but sometimes we have little hiccups along the way. Well, take it as a lesson. You know, I remember Oprah Winfrey used to talk about that. Every, you know, kind of fallback is a lesson that you can learn, you know, through that process. So let's talk about some of the personal goals. It could be relationships. It could be like possessions, like getting a house or, you know, buying a car. It could be, you know, having a family, getting closer with family. Your well-being has an impact on your success at work, in the home, in relationships. So nurturing or having goals around those relationships, it's going to help you kind of in all aspects. And remember how I said earlier, you can engage others around you to help you achieve those goals. Let them know what your goals are. And, you know, if they love you and support you, they're going to help you. If they want to sabotage you, then maybe that's not such a good relationship to have. But maintaining healthy relationships certainly could add to financial and, you know, family success. Consider what you buy, how you buy it, when you buy it. So if part of your goals are possessions, think about what you're doing and how you're doing it. You know, I tell people all the time when I use myself as an example, you know, we buy used cars. I can afford a new car, I buy used cars, and we keep them a long time. So it's about sometimes choosing where you're spending your money, where you're, what you're buying, what possessions you're going to get, because that could have overflow effects or overflow impact on you reaching some of your other goals. So don't look at your goals in a vacuum. So if you say, I have a goal to, I kept using the beach house, but let me use something a little bit more realistic. Let's say I have a goal to, you know, save for a trip in 3 years, and I want to have a really great trip. I'm going to save $20,000 for my trip in 3 years. And you start, you know, saving toward that. Don't look at it just in a vacuum. You have to say, oh, my other choices over here that I'm making impact my ability to reach that one goal. So you kind of have to, you know, pay attention to all the moving parts. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit as well. Think about what, you know, some of these goals are like. Are they experiences? Are they material things? Is it education? Because some of the choices you're making can have long-lasting effects on your future, you know, financial stability. Professional goals. Let's talk about those for a minute before I put this all together. I will put it all together. So professional goals. Professional goals could be education, which could have a huge impact on your employment opportunities. It could have a huge impact on your job retention. You know, statistics show that people who have higher education degrees have lower unemployment. So the less education you have, the higher the unemployment might be. So we know that a professional goal could be advancing your education, which would help with employment opportunities, job retention, job promotion opportunities, bonus opportunities. So by meeting some of these professional goals, that can certainly have an impact then on your financial success, your financial security, and other opportunities or other, you know, eventual goal making that you might have. It might not be today. It might be 10 years from now, 15 years from now, because as we know, it has, you know, your work, your effort, your education has a, a cascading effect, you know, it builds. It's kind of like compounding. When we talk about saving money and investing, we talk about compounding making such a difference in our, you know, wealth accumulation. The same thing you could say about your commitment to your education and your job. I'm losing my words. I guess I'm tired. Because even if you don't have like college education, maybe it's just honing your skills and building your professional skills or your technical skills at work too. So all of that investment in your professional life can have long-lasting benefits too. And I always talk about having options. So usually with whether it's professional or personal financial goals, it's about having options. And many of our decisions do have financial impact. And the more financial strength you have, the more options you're going to have, the more risk you can take, and the more reward you can get. I was just talking with some clients today about, you know, the amount of risk one can take. The more money you have, the more risk you can take. And what happens when we can take more risk? Well, if we take more risk, we are definitely hoping for more reward, right? So when we talk about taking risks, for example, in the market, we're usually talking about investing in equities. Equities have more volatility because that's taking on more risk. I'm expecting a better return. So the more risk I can take, I'm expecting better return, and better return is more reward. More reward is more financial strength. With more financial strength, I have more financial opportunities. So it's compounding, you know, in the finance world with taking on more risk. But the only way you can take on more risk is if you can afford the risk. And, you know, someone who has $40,000, who, you know, has expenses coming up, or maybe only has, you know, they're a one income earner, they can't take on as much risk, obviously, as someone with $2 million. So the person with $2 million can take on more risk, in my little story here, generalizing. They may be able to take on more risk, and then they're going to have bigger reward. So it's kind of always an uphill battle. So the sooner that you do some of this goal setting, again, SMART goals, and with the ability to kind of accumulate some, you know, financial wealth, it's going to give you more opportunities to reach more of those goals that you have. So I'm just going to talk about a few examples that I have, even from my own life. And I've mentioned these ones before, so I apologize to anyone who's listened before and has heard the story before. But my husband and I, we've been together forever, almost 46 years. And we're from Michigan originally. We've lived in Pennsylvania since 1988. And we had always taught, we have family still in Michigan. We go back all the time. We love Michigan. We love the water. And we always talked about going and, you know, having a place in Michigan, a second home in Michigan. Talked about it, talked about it, and talked about it. But guess what we never did? We never set up SMART goals. We never specifically said, what did we want? And nor measured it, nor was it achievable, because we didn't know what it was specifically. It was just a pipe dream, just something we thought about. Finally, we said, we have to do something. Again, the visualization, we have to start doing something. And we met with a realtor, and we had them take us around. This was back in 2013. Had them take us around and look at different houses and started thinking about what we wanted. And We got very detailed. We started saying, oh, you know what? If this is a second home and it's for our future and it's for our retirement, just as a second home, and we're going to get older and we're not going to be able to do stairs, so maybe it would be best to have a house that is, it has everything we need on the one floor. Great. No steps to get into the house. Great. Garage, drive right in. Great. Is it conveniently located to the water that we wanted to see? Great. Is it going to be, you know, walkable? Are we going to be in a community? Are we going to have access to the services that we need? So we started thinking about all these things, and he showed us, you know, things to avoid. The realtor did. Things to avoid, watch out for this, resale value, when does this make sense? We started kind of identifying what we wanted. We started saving money, and boom, 4 years later, folks, 4 years later, we got a call from a friend, neighbor, childhood friend of my husband, who said, there's this, you know, house available, condo available. And I happened to be in Michigan on Friday. We put the offer in on Saturday, and we got it. And we've been homeowners in Michigan since 2017. And as I say, if we wanted to be on the water, it would have cost $1 million. But to walk to the water, it was $175,000. So, you know, it was a SMART goal. It was specific. It was measurable. It was achievable and relevant. And we did it in a timely manner. 4 years might sound like a long time, but when you think about it, saving, 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 And it was so exciting, and it's been so exciting, and we're thrilled that we were able to have a goal, set a goal, and achieve a goal. When we come back, I'll talk to you about a little bit more about some other goals and some ideas around that. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY, also available on the WDIY app and many streaming services. We are talking about goal setting tonight. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. I hope we're providing a little bit of inspiration tonight. Hopefully we'll help some people, and maybe over time, anyone who's listened to the show in the past and get some benefit from the show, I'd love to hear from you. There's always questions available through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Also, if you have any show ideas, topics you'd like me to cover, you can also send those through yourfinancialchoices.com as well. So talking about goal setting, another goal, remember I said it could be a personal goal. It doesn't have to be a financial goal, but how even personal goals or professional goals can end up having financial impact, and having financial impact may set you up to have other attainable future financial goals as well. So the quick story, for those who don't know, I love sharing. I wanted to be a teacher. In fact, when I was really young, I wanted to be a nun. And then I went to public school and decided I wanted to be a teacher after all. So went to college, off in education, no jobs in education in Michigan at the time. Everyone would have to go to Texas to get jobs. I wasn't planning on doing that. I switched careers, went into accounting. Didn't really like accounting. I only went into accounting because I knew it was one of the harder curriculums in the business school. And I knew business would be good. And I thought, well, I could always probably have a job in accounting. And as it turns out, I have always had a job in accounting. So it worked out. So went into accounting. And, you know, I hadn't even had an accounting class for like a year and a half. And I sat for the CPA exam because I just thought that's what you're supposed to do. And I didn't study. I didn't study at all. And back then, the exam was a two-day exam. So can you imagine sitting in a room for 2 days taking a test? There were four parts to the test. And in the end, I did not pass. I was really upset with myself because I realized as I was taking it that it was totally passable, definitely a passable exam, but that not having studied, not such a good idea. I don't know what I was thinking. I was young, a little bit immature, and had real no mentor in that realm. So fast forward, didn't pass, upset with myself, said, I will never take that test again unless I study. So fast forward several years, my time is running out. My experience is running out. I had to like make a decision. Am I going to do this? And I said, I do not want to regret not doing that when I know I can do it. In the past, I'd always been, I get a little bit panicked taking tests, and I had come, you know, several years later, I'd come to the conclusion that panicking never helps anybody. So stay calm and put the work in, put the effort in. And at this point, I had three kids, little ones, babies, and a great supporting husband who made up a schedule for me. And I made a schedule for several months, and I studied every single night. I'm a late night person, so it worked out really well. Kids go to bed. I study 9 to midnight every night, and then I would study on the weekend. Took the test when it was still a two-day exam, sat for 2 days, and passed all four parts at that point, all at once. Hugely exciting, huge memory. You know, I'm like, I can be there in my head in a second the day I got that envelope and got the results. Super, super exciting. Happened to be going out with friends that night for dinner. It was a huge celebration. And frankly, I still haven't gotten over it. It was such an accomplishment. But it was specific. I wanted the CPA. It was measurable because I could see every day that I was studying. I had piles of books that I was going through every day. I followed the directions of the study guides. I self-studied. I didn't take any courses or anything and did everything the book said. They said, do this, do this, do this. If you pass each chapter's test with 70%, keep going. I did everything they said. I did thousands of questions and it was measurable. I could see it was achievable. I knew I could do it. Achievable. What was the next one? SMA. Relevant. It was relevant for my career. I knew that having a CPA was going to help me more. And time, of course, time was of the essence because if I didn't do it when I did it, I would not have been able to do it. I would have had to go get more work experience or I would have had to, you know, the education. There was some little glitch there. So I got it all done. It was exciting. And from there, you know, I went to another firm where I am now, Valley National Financial Advisors. And Tom Riddle said to me, why don't you get your CFP? And I said, what's a CFP? And he said, Certified Financial Planner Professional. Hadn't heard of it before. That was 25 years ago. He said, you can do it with your CPA, pass the exam. Started studying. Guess what I did? The exact same thing. I knew that it was specific, CFP. I knew it was measurable. I had a schedule every single night, did the exact same thing. It was achievable. It was relevant. It was going to help my career. And I did it timely. And also a two-day exam at that point. And it made such a world of difference. And, you know, had I been a teacher, I would have loved being a teacher. And I'm sure it would have made a difference in my life and hopefully a difference in any children's lives that I would have taught. But I had to pivot. So earlier I said, you know, if you have a goal, make sure that you give yourself options, make sure it's flexible, and can you change them if you have to? So I did have to pivot at some point, and I have pivoted a number of times in my career, and it's all worked out, and it's been really good, but I've been able to have options. And so I think it's really important to not beat yourself up if something doesn't go your way. Keep your eye on the ball, maybe pivot a little. Fine-tune maybe those SMART goals and make it work for you. Recently had a new client's been very upset about how much she has been spending and feels guilty about it, feels ashamed about it. And I told her, stop being ashamed. Do not be ashamed anymore about your spending. Be in control of it. Be in control of it. Own it. Take it. Face it. And then it can become a SMART goal to get out from under it. It can be specific. I'm going to watch my spending this way. It can be measurable. I can see in my bank account that I am not spending as much. It can be achievable. Because when you start looking at maybe what you're spending, you'll see you're spending on discretionary things instead of non-discretionary things. Is it relevant? Yes, it's relevant if you want to achieve the other goals that you had, like retiring early. And can we put a time to it? Yes, we can put a time to it. And it's taking control. Makes a huge difference. And if you're someone who thinks you're not disciplined, but you break it down into these little steps and make it a little bit more exciting, figure out what it is going to be to motivate you, whether it is telling a financial advisor or another professional or your friends or your family, tell them a little bit and then, you know, be accountable to yourself. Put those sticky notes up on the wall. So the last 2 weeks, I have been talking about some kind of, you know, like softer topics. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the elements of your financial life. Whenever I look at a client, I look at all these six pieces and how they're working together. Like I can't help myself. I have to. It's cash flow, investments, taxes, retirement planning, risk management, and estate planning. You want to see how these all play into your ability to set goals and attain your goals because they all impact each other. It takes discipline. It takes patience. It takes commitment. Sometimes it takes luck. It sometimes takes grit. And if you don't like the word discipline, Because I know some people don't like the word budget. If you don't like the word discipline, then call it something else. Call it determination. Call it stubbornness or being a dreamer. I'm stubborn. So that's what makes me go after things. I'm stubborn and I like a bulldog. It's like if I think I have to do something, I have to plow through it. And, I also... feel accountable sometimes to the people around me too. A great support at home, wonderful kids through all of that, husband, very good. And it means something to them too, because if I'm able to achieve my goals, then that's a good example to them. Just like my daughter with the volleyball, and that my other kids are like that as well. So it's really good. So whatever it takes to get you started, to get you motivated, to get you encouraged, committed to get it done, that's what I encourage you to do, and start with the SMART goals. So whatever it might be, and I hope that anyone listening tonight, if it lands with you, maybe just make a date with yourself and sit down with a cup of coffee or tea or a beer, whatever it is that you like to drink, and have some quiet time, put on some good music and say, what do I visualize? And I will tell you, the visualization does work. I've done it for a number of things in my life, and it really, really can make a difference. I think I have a number of things I have visualized have come to fruition. For example, many, many, many years ago, I, again, moved from Michigan, small town, very small town. New York City seems pretty scary to someone from a small town and not being an adventurer. And this is way back when. I always wanted to go to Broadway and see a Broadway show. And finally, it's like, Lori, just write it down and make it a goal. And, I did. And I invited a friend from Michigan to come to visit me in Pennsylvania. And I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to New York City and we're going to stay overnight and we're going to go to a Broadway show. And it's exactly what we did. And, so it took a little bit of planning and we made it happen. And that was the start of my visualization and goal setting. And it's really paid off. So when we put that in the concept of the last 2 weeks, where we talked about the financial elements of your life, and last week we talked about what is your story and understanding what your story is and how, whether it's the goal setting and, your financial goals, your personal goals, your professional goals, I always tell people, your financial life is like your fingerprint, your thumbprint. It's unique to you, and you have to understand what your story is. Don't compare to other people and stay focused on what is important to you and what you want to attain, what you want to achieve, just like the SMART goals, and make it happen and understand that it doesn't all work in a vacuum. You have to understand how all these areas impact reaching those goals, whether it's the cash flow planning, being smart about how you're doing your tax planning, being smart about how you're saving for your retirement. If you say you want to retire early and you tell me you're not maxing out your 401k, I might say you may not be able to achieve that goal unless you become a better saver. So make sure that you understand how all the elements of your financial life impact your ability to reach those goals, whatever they may be, personal, professional, or financial. Folks, I appreciate your time tonight. I hope it was helpful to our listeners. Again, if you have any ideas for show topics or questions, those could be sent through yourfinancialchoices.com. And next week, we are going to talk about asset allocation and geography and risk tolerance and taxation. And this also all feeds into having some financial options, I would say, and helping you fulfill those long-term goals, giving you flexibility. And so we'll talk about that next week. Thank you, Bridger, for being here. Thank you, Cindy and Bob. Thank you, Carolyn, for calling in. Thank you, listeners. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.